I've decided to open my first savings account.
I've decided to reclaim my health.
I've decided to give faith
a second chance.
Time now for the I've Decided radio show, sponsored by I've Decided, an organization in Peoria designed to motivate people just like you to achieve your goals, from physical to financial health, to learning a new skill or being a better spouse. Now, I've Decided radio.
Good morning, Central Illinois. You are tuning in to I've Decided Radio. I'm Kim Martin, founder of I've Decided and host of your radio show today. Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate that. We've been on the air now for over a year, so that's exciting. And you know what? It is a great way, I think, for us to come at you with some motivation, encouragement. We love to share success stories that help you get encouraged to be successful in your goals, and of course, our awesome business member resources. And so we have over 50 business resources now that are a part of I've Decided to help you be successful in whatever it is that you want to do. And that's what I've Decided is. We are your home for success and transformation so that you can accomplish your goals and dreams and achieve whatever it is that you have in your heart. So whether or not you have decided to go back to school, open your own business, get healthy, buy or sell a home, whatever it is that you can dream of, I've Decided is your go-to place for that success and transformation. We do some awesome events in the community that we're very proud of. Got a couple coming up that I want to share with you about. Our first one is happening on Saturday, July 29th. That's our I've Decided to Ride program. We've been doing a ride training program for the last 10 weeks preparing for this 20, 30, or 40-mile ride, and it's been exciting. But it is open to anyone who, I guess all you really need to be able to do is ride your bike at least 20 miles, have a bike, and have a helmet. And you can get registered at ivedecided.org. And you can join me and about 25 other people on a tour to Morton and back. And it's awesome. So check that out. It's $25 if you want to register. It's going to be a fun, fun day. And then our second next big event is our half-day conference. Our half-day motivational conference is going to happen on Saturday, August 26th. So be sure to mark your calendars for that and check out our speakers. We got an amazing morning lined up for you to give you the resources that you need. And so I'm just real excited about that and just wanted to share those opportunities with you before we dive right in here with my awesome, amazing guest, one of my friends, Stacy Borjo. Hey, Stacy.
Hi.
Thanks for joining me on the radio show today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So excited. So, Stacy, I'm sure you've seen her name around town. She's been here for a long time. She's on billboard sometimes. She's an awesome mortgage lender here in Peoria and works for Illinois National Bank. Mm-hmm. And we are very proud to have Illinois National Bank as a business member, an executive business member of I've Decided. And I just really think that speaks volumes, Stacy, about your bank that you work for, and love the fact that they're small but mighty.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and they're willing to give back to their community and be a part and participate with an organization like I've Decided.
Mm-hmm.
And just share in the community and provide and give back. And of course, I get to work with you because you kind of represent them and come to our BYOBs and set up vendor resources. And I've been learning. You've taught me so much about mortgages and credit and understanding what needs to happen. But I know the listeners hopefully will be intrigued today and want to find out what's going on in our local market. So first of all, though, Illinois National Bank, that is a small, we would consider that a small bank, right?
Yeah. So Illinois National Bank is $1 million bank. We're not $1 billion bank yet. Actually, one of the reasons why I switched over is because of their great size. We also are, we have a president who is a female, which I thought was really awesome.
Right.
Because she made those decisions, right, to keep going with education and then just keep going in regards to working in the banking industry. So she started out as a teller, and now she is the CEO president of Illinois National Bank.
That is so awesome. I love that. That just got chills. I love that. That's like an awesome success story. She just worked her way right
That's
up.
That's right. That's right. And that just shows you that if you take time and take that motivation and keep persevering, that you can achieve anything you want to if you put your mind to it, right?
Absolutely. I love, what a story.
Yeah.
She could be one of our speakers. I bet she's got a story to tell. We'll have to talk about that down the road. I bet that might be really cool. I would love to hear her story.
And we do, Illinois National Bank does do a lot with the community. We do a lot of runs and we do a lot of supporting and a lot of giving back any way that we can. And they actually want all of us officers to be involved in the community. So, you know, I'm on the board for the Holt Center of Healthy Living. I'm a wish grantor for Make-A-Wish Illinois. I love what I've decided does because it's that motivation to keep on going and to make those dreams a reality. So that's another reason why I was so honored when you asked me to be a part of it. I thought it was just an awesome idea. And just to see different people tell their success stories has been just so humbling.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
And then we get to learn and go alongside mm-hmm. of like-minded business owners. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that we have like-minded business owners that can motivate and encourage each other because we care. We deem ourselves as community-wide difference makers.
Right.
So you are, Stacy, a community-wide difference maker. And it's awesome. So I love that story of the CEO of your bank. I look forward to meeting her one day. And speaking of the ride, last year you did the ride with us.
I sure did.
We had so much fun.
It was a lot of fun.
It was hot.
It was very hot, but it was a lot of fun. And it felt good going over those different bridges. You're like, is that really going to happen?
I know. The Bob Michael Bridge.
Yeah.
You got to cross over that bridge. We did it. And
that's
now,
right.
You know what's so funny is this is my second year and I'm doing it again because, you know, last year I trained, did the 40-mile ride, and then I never brought my bike out again after that. And so, okay, well, this year I had to dust off the bike, bring it back out, do the training again. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm crossing the bridge. But it's so funny how you can be so afraid of something.
Yeah.
I was so afraid of crossing that Bob Michael Bridge initially. And now I could just go right over it. Like, mm-hmm. once you do it, you just feel better about it.
The unknown is not unknown anymore, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, so you moved over to Illinois National Bank, and yep. I understand why, because they're just a great community bank. And, mm-hmm. of course, like you said, you're involved in so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people need to know that. It's not something... you don't walk around patting yourself on the back going, hey, look at all I'm doing. I'm, you know, on the board here at Holt Center, and I'm giving back at these Make-A-Wish foundations and things like that. You do it. I know you do it because that's who you are.
Right.
And you just love to give back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm here, to toot your horn a little bit. If you could see her, she's blushing. So I do this to everybody, Stacy, because I think that people need mm-hmm. to know, because if I am going to do business with a bank or a mortgage lender or anyone for that matter, I feel very good about spending money somewhere where I know that person's giving back to the community. You know, mm-hmm. I feel very good about putting my money in a bank that I know is participating in things that I like to do, like I've decided to ride or I've decided to run.
Right.
And they're supporting you to be a part of these nonprofit organizations and give back. So I think that just lays a good foundation for why anyone should want to use you as their mortgage lender.
Yeah.
And that they know that you're that type of a person and that good quality of a person. And those are just to name a couple of things. I know every time I turn around, you're sending me an invite to some nonprofit event that you're serving on. And so there's a lot. And I think it's just important to get that message out there. But I know we need to talk about these mortgages. So you said, we did our little commercial before we started recording our show, mm-hmm. and you said that I asked you, the question was, is it a buyer or seller's market? And you said it is a...
buyer's market.
A buyer's market.
Yeah.
So, okay, what's that mean? Now, in your world, I know you have this all, you're like, it's a buyer's market. What do you mean? What does it mean? Well, the rest of us are like, well, we hear that term,
mm-hmm.
but... maybe we don't 100% understand it. So help us understand that a little better.
So a buyer's market just means that there's a lot more houses on the market. So it means that buyers have a lot more options. And then depending on the seller's situation will depend on, you know, what kind of bidding power you have and that type of thing. So I know that with it being a buyer's market, sometimes people like to think they can get that house for half the price.
Well, that is the first thing that kind of popped in my mind.
Right?
When you said it's a buyer's market, I'm like, I could get my house with the swimming pool for a good deal somewhere probably. But
well, you probably can get a good deal, but we just need to keep in mind that people do still have mortgages against their homes. And everybody has a story, right? So
we
have to be careful too. So yes, it's a buyer's market, meaning there are a lot of houses to choose from right now. So that's great. Are you going to be able to get it for half the price? No.
No, because they still have to pay off whatever they owe. They can't sell it for less than they owe.
Right. And you have to remember that there are humans behind each one of these properties. And as much as we like to think it's just a transaction, it's not. Because, you know, you have people who may have been in their house for 30 years and they're selling it because they have to move somewhere else. You know, so you've got some heartstrings attached there.
So you just
have to be careful. And really, ultimately, a buyer wants to buy a house, right? And a seller wants to sell. So, you know, that value's there, but it's depending on what both parties are willing to pay for it in a reasonable manner.
I see. So don't go out thinking you're going to be able to go. And that could waste a lot of people's time if you're thinking you're just going to go out and make half off. Offer half price to everybody's house and expect that that's going to turn around. Because in, like you said, in most situations, people have a mortgage on their house.
That's right.
And they're not going to be able to, even if they wanted to move that desperately.
Right.
They can't sell it for less than they owe on it because.
Well, they can. I mean, I've sadly seen people bring a lot of money to closing sometimes to get out of their house, but I just can't even imagine. So.
You don't want to see that happen.
No, I don't.
You want to see it as a win-win.
Yep.
That's what we like. We want it to be a win-win. We want the seller to sell at a decent price and the buyer to get it at a decent, fair price, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. Yeah, so I guess it depends on, you know, what you're looking at. I was looking. I love to get on, like, on realestate.com or whatever it is. I'm like, I love looking at houses that are for sale. I'm not planning on buying or selling my house, but I still have a lot of work to do on my house. And so I get ideas and I love looking at the big houses on Grandview Drive. I like peek inside, you know, look, they got all the 3D pictures and stuff. But I was noticing there was one house for sale. It's like $1.25 million now. And like only 4 years ago, they paid like $700,000. That's like a huge jump. You think they remodeled that or?
Definitely could have. You never know. You never know.
Or maybe they got a good deal initially and now the markup is, I thought, whoa, that's almost double.
You just don't know what people have put into these different houses. So
it's hard to tell.
It really depends. Everybody's got a different story. It's not a flat, you know, situation for anything. So more importantly is what each person's looking to do, right? Are you looking to buy as a primary? Are you looking to buy some investment homes? Maybe you're looking to buy a second home.
Yeah, you said this is a good time for a second home because the interest rates are so low.
Mm-hmm.
Does that happen in the buyer's market? The interest rates drop lower when it's like that? Or is it just what causes the interest rate to fluctuate, I guess, would be my question.
Right. So whether it's a buyer's or seller's market is not an impact on your interest rates.
Okay.
Interest rates are impacted by the market. So you're seeing rates are kind of pretty steady right now. They haven't done too much crazy changing. You did hear the Fed rate go up a little bit, which is necessary for us to improve because if you think about that rate going up, what's going to eventually happen too is maybe our checking and savings accounts and CDs might actually have an attractive rate. But interest rates are still pretty strong. Your 30-year fixed is around 4%. And what a lot of people don't know is, say, if you were to buy a second home, maybe you want to go out to Oak Run or somewhere and have a lake house, right? But a lot of people don't know is for a second home, you only need 5% down.
Oh, really?
And you can
still don't have to have the 20%. Is it 20% you need to have initially when you buy a home?
Well, no. Actually, if you're buying for your primary residence, if it's your first home, you can have as little as 3% down on a conventional loan.
Okay. But then don't you have to have that extra insurance if you do that?
You do. You do. You have what's called PMI, private mortgage insurance. Anytime you have less than 20% down, you do have PMI, private mortgage insurance that lasts until you have 20% down. Again, that's unconventional. But yeah, you would. There are other options. You can take sometimes a higher interest rate and have no PMI.
Okay.
Or if you have the funds, put 20% down, you can. But either way, if you only have 5% down, you can buy a second home if you wanted to.
Would you still have to, on the second home with the 5%, is there still the PMI?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. So
that's period. If you don't have 20% down on a fixed rate mortgage, then you will have PMI.
Okay.
Unless you maybe take a higher rate and do what's called lender paid mortgage insurance.
Okay. And then that 5% down, how much is PMI? Is there, do they depend on the house that your type of house you're buying or the amount you're purchasing? Or?
So your PMI has, there's charts of factors of what the PMI would be. And it's different because it's based off credit score.
Okay.
And it's based off how much money you put down. So PMI is tiered. So if you put 3% down, it's at a higher tier. And then once you get to a 5% down, it gets a little bit lower, 10% down a little bit lower, and 15% down even a little bit lower. So however you start your loan is how your PMI will remain until you have that 20% down.
And when you say that 20% down, that means you've gotten to equity, you've reduced your mortgage by 20%.
Exactly. Or sometimes some of my borrowers have gone and done substantial upgrades to their home, and then they paid for an appraiser to go back out, and then they have their equity built in, so then they got rid of their PMI sooner than later.
Oh, would you recommend doing that?
Why not?
Okay, yeah, because I've talked to you about this before. Our house was built in 1959. I love it, but we've been doing a lot of work and big things, like new roof, new air conditioner. Now we need new windows. And so we're just doing little bits by little bits. But once we get it completely remodeled, then we could have it reassessed.
You can have, and now you have to talk to your lender lenders are different. I know how INB works, but I don't know how all other specific lenders work. Everybody is different. They have their own ways of going about doing things. But I know specifically our bank will do that, will look. But know too that as much as a roof can cost,
it doesn't change the value much.
It's probably not going to change the value too much. It's considered maintenance.
Right.
Same with the air conditioner. Conditioner is awesome. Windows is probably going to change the look, right? So
right.
That's a little bit different.
And new flooring and new cabinets.
New flooring
and all that.
We have new cabinets. Definitely make a difference. You just have to, it's going to be basically an appraisal is a picture in time.
I see.
And so if the appraiser is able to come up with comparables that are similar, that's what they're going to look at. And it's solds that have happened within the last 6 months to a year.
In your area.
So if you're in a subdivision, ideally they're going to find three comparables in your subdivision. If you're in the city, they want them within a mile. And if you're in the country, they can go a little bit further. But that's one of the challenges with appraisals, because you could have three different appraisals done. And if they don't have any ballpark idea of a value, you could have three completely different appraisals.
That's so interesting. And then they're comparing it to other houses. And what if your house is like twice as big as the other houses that have
they
sold?
They wouldn't use those then typically. They want to use houses that are similar in square footage.
I see.
Because it comes down, a lot of times we'll get broken down to how much per square footage.
Oh, okay. So then you can say that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it seems a little more fair, even though I hate to use the word fair because life's not fair. We know we know that, right? Mm-hmm. It's not fair that
right.
We had to take our backyard fence down and somebody else has a front yard fence, but that's how life is,
So be careful with your remodels too.
Right.
Better be getting some permits and making sure if you have an HOA that you're abiding by those rules.
Absolutely. So life's not fair, but that does make it a little more fair if they're saying these houses, this is the square footage, this is what they sell for, so this is that much per square footage. So now you're saying this house is 5,000 square foot, so you incorporate some of that a little bit. Probably not even Steven, but it does add it to a better, fair market value. All right, so I'm the person that's thinking about buying getting ready to buy a home.
Sure.
Because one of the other things that I think people want to know is, what do they need to have in a line? What are the steps they need to take before they even go out with a realtor? Specifically our realtor, Jeannie Quick, we might add. But before they go out with a realtor, what should they be thinking about? What should they look into?
Absolutely. So very first step really does need to be talking to a lender, because your first door that you have to get through is credit. So all we need is your name, address, social security number, and date of birth, and we can pull your credit. And it takes about 2 minutes. And then we'll be looking at all three major credit bureaus. And it's not going to be the same score as Credit Karma, and it's not going to be the same score as Discover.
Right.
I'm getting that a lot. So please know that there's actually over hundreds of scoring vehicles out there. And your Discover card and Credit Karma and those other things are a snapshot. Think of it as your most current version of an iPhone, where our mortgage system is more like DOS, and it's going to take its time, it's going to overanalyze, and it's going to look at everything that you've had out there, and it goes back over 10 years. So the credit scores that you're going to have pulled via your mortgage lender is going to be different than what you're seeing from anyone else. Just be prepared for that.
Okay, that's the good, biggest thing that I'm running into. That's good to know. Good to know.
Yep. But then, so Fannie Mae on a conventional mortgage only requires at minimum a 620 credit score. So first, you got to have your credit in line.
Okay. So you want to check that. So get an appointment with Stacy.
Get an appointment. You can actually do it over the phone too. You don't even have to come in. You can make a phone call, spend 5 minutes on the phone, and you'll have those answers pretty quickly.
And you're the only, there's only one bank, Illinois National Bank in Peoria. There are more That's than one correct. Location.
Nope. There's only one office here in Peoria.
And it's out on Knoxville.
It's on Knoxville, 7535 North Knoxville.
Okay.
Or again, you just pick up the phone. I mean, you don't have to come in to see me. You can call me from anywhere. I just closed on a loan yesterday that was in Missouri. We
Amazing.
Don't discriminate. Yeah. So I've got customers that come back to me and say, I liked how you took care of me. I want to work with you again.
Sure. I'm sure after over 18 years in the business, you've got repeat customers constantly. So that's all. That's good. Okay. So back to, so they can call you on the phone. The first step is to call you and make sure their credit score is in line.
Yep. And then if they're serious about buying a house, what are you not going to do for a while?
We talked about that, like buying a car and things like that.
Yeah. So remember, too, that when your credit is pulled, it is a picture in time. So if you go and decide to purchase a car or a boat or a motorcycle or whatever it may be, that changes your pre-qualification. So just if you're being serious about buying a house, do not make any other purchases from the time you get pre-qualified till you close on that house. Do not have your credit pulled for anything, because you could
reduce your score.
You could make a lot of impacts. You could then not end up being able to buy a home.
Wow. So does that happen a lot? Do people come get pre-qualified and then they go buy a car and now all of a sudden, oops, sorry, you can't buy a house anymore?
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
So know that. So good. So get your credit in line. And then from there, you tell them what you would pre-qualify them for, correct?
So once, as long as you've got your credit score in line, or maybe we give you guidance on how to get your credit in line, because we do that also. But then we're going to collect your income information. So we want to know what your gross salary is per year, or if you're an hourly wage employee, that's fine too, and how many hours you work, and if you're seasonal. So we have some seasonal people out there, and that doesn't mean they can't buy a house. It just means we need to have a two-year history that we can average your seasonal income over. That includes tips, too. So if you're a waitress, you need to have 2 years on the job. If you're self-employed, we'd like to have a two-year history. And we're only going to use what you claim. So if you don't report it to your federal tax returns, we're not using it. So your neighbor paying you cash to babysit doesn't count.
Right. Well, and that people need to know that, too. And especially, you know, in the waitress world, I mean, I can't say what waitresses do today, but I know when I waitress back in the day, somebody gave me cash. I didn't necessarily tell anybody about that. You know, I just took it home. But if you are a waitress and that is your full-time job and that's your livelihood, you got to be careful. And other, and I just use that as an example, but there are a lot of other
self-employed people.
Self-employed people, we have to put our money on the paper if we want to use it to help us get down the road.
Exactly.
You know, if it's no big deal to you, you might, it might not matter, but I didn't say that. But, you know, technically you got to pay taxes on every dollar.
Right. So we're looking at your income, and just as a ballpark number, you take your gross income times 3, and that's ballpark range of what you could get qualified for a loan.
Oh.
Depending on how much debt you have.
Okay, so if your debt's low,
so if your debt's
and your
low
credit's
and
really good,
say you make $30,000 a year, then you could probably get a loan around $90,000.
Okay, so that's good to know.
It's just a ballpark number. It's not exact because, you know, everything changes. Debts are different. Real estate taxes are different and that kind of thing, but it's a ballpark idea.
That is a good idea, a good rule of thumb.
Yeah.
It helps people to recognize what they can do. So when you're sitting there dreaming on realestate.com or whatever website you're on looking at houses, you can know these are totally not going to be in my ballpark.
That's right.
Or these potentially could be. It gives you some sort of a window, an idea.
Yep.
Awesome.
So
and
that's
then,
a good guide. So having to have paperwork, right? That's the next thing. A lot of us pitch everything, right, anymore. We're paper shredders or, I can get it online, which is fine too. But Paperwork that we collect typically is at least a current pay stub and 2016 W-2s. But again, of course, if you're self-employed, we're going to do 2 years of
right.
full federal tax returns. That's the other thing people like to do. They like to send me a picture of the first page of their federal tax return, but nothing else. You never know what's on those other pages. Same with bank statements. We are going to ask for 2 months of bank statements. And
sure.
a bank statement, for us to use it again, has to have your name on it. We get a lot of those. It's funny. They're like, here's my bank statement. I'm like, well, your name's not on it. Yeah, but it's mine. Well, can you prove that?
Right. That's so funny.
It's the simple things. But so bank statements, we need 2 months of bank statements with your name, the bank name, and then the history there. Same with pay stubs. Sometimes pay stubs we get, they don't have your name on it or your employer's name. So again, we're going to have to look for other forms of paperwork to take care of that. But it's a paper trail. So if you're a paper shredder right now and you get the bank statements in the mail, then I would start keeping them if you're thinking about buying a house. Same with pay stubs. Same with your tax returns. If you don't have them, what a lot of people actually don't know is you can get your W-2s and tax returns all at www.irs.gov for free. Anytime you need or want to, you can get a W-2, you can get a return, and that's coming directly from the IRS. So it's a place you can go, because I've had people say, oh, I packed all that away. I'm never going to be able to find it. Well, we have a resource, and if you go get it yourself, it's free, and it's the IRS's website.
That's amazing. See what we learn? I love learning this stuff. It's an amazing resource. And I mean, buying and selling a home, refinancing or whatever it might be, is a big deal. And a lot of us, I think that's a goal that, you know, we have, whether it be to upgrade to a larger home, if it's someone moving out of their starter home and they're ready to have a family, mm-hmm. right? And so, or moving to another area, or even buying a second home. So, okay, I don't know why I had this in my mind, but you said something, because you said you financed somebody in Missouri. So I was like, so when I get ready to buy my beach house
uh-huh.
down in Gulf Shores,
that's right.
You can finance me down there. So I don't have to go down there to be financed.
Exactly right. So if you have a second home or a vacation home, it's really the same thing in our title terminology, if you will. But yeah, you can buy a home anywhere in the U.S. and we're able to finance it. So if it's a second home, meaning at least 45 miles away from your current home, is considered a second home or a vacation home, and you have to visit there a couple times a year. But it is only 5% down now. So maybe you have that money and you found that perfect house, but you don't have the 20%. It's still okay, and we can get that financed for you now, and then you can continue to invest in it and
yeah,
maybe
that's
someday
exciting.
Retire there, right?
Yeah, that's what I got thinking in my mind. So, but okay, but what about credit scores on a second
house? It's going to be the same.
Really?
It's the same okay. criteria. Right now, Fannie Mae treats first and second homes pretty similar. So there's not a huge difference. The difference comes in when it's called an investment home. So an investment home is, say if you have a daughter that you want to buy a house for in the area, then that's considered an investment home. It can't be a second home because she's living across the street or in the same neighborhood sometimes, but we get that too.
And that you would have to have the 20% down.
That you have to have at least 20% down. If you want the best rate possible, you're going to actually want to put 25% down.
Okay.
And we actually do finance, which some lenders don't. We can still do a 30, 20, or 15-year fixed on investment homes, which some lenders don't, with the minimum 20% down. They are going to require higher credit scores. They don't really have a credit score per se, but they're definitely going to want some stronger scores.
They're looking for higher, stronger scores.
Yeah. Investment homes have been considered as a higher risk, because as we had the change in mortgage times, investors, I mean, what house are you going to take care of first, right? Probably the one you're living in.
Right. So if something gets behind, it's going to be the investment house. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That's kind of risky. Well, our time is coming to an end. I can't believe how fast this happened. I'm looking over here going, no way. Can't be a half hour already. It goes by so fast. I can't. It's amazing. We could talk about mortgage stuff all day. There's just mm-hmm. a lot of information. Mm-hmm. So if you've been tuning in, you've been listening to I've Decided Radio Show. And I'm Kim Martin, host of your show, founder of I've Decided. And my guest today is Stacy Borjo. She's a mortgage lender over at Illinois National Bank. And we love Illinois National Bank. They are part of I've Decided and are community-wide difference makers here. And giving you the resources and that local home feel bank. And you will just love Stacy. So if you are in the market to get ready to buy a home, or you want to sell a home, or you just need some advice, I love that about you, Stacy, is that you welcome anyone just to come in. You're welcome to share your advice mm-hmm. with whatever it is they're thinking about doing.
Sure.
And pull their credit score, help them out. You even advise them what they could do to make their credit score better so that they could buy a house.
Absolutely.
So be sure to reach out to Stacy. You can just walk in over at Illinois National Bank on
Knoxville,
or yep. give her a call. What's the branch number over there? Do you know that number by heart? Or
I certainly would hope so. I'll give you my direct line, which is 309-683-8017.
Awesome. Well, you know how it is with the cell phones today. I didn't even know my husband's phone number for like the longest time. We have everything on speed dial, but always Google it, right?
Exactly.
Awesome. Or you can come to our half-day conference on August the 26th, and you can meet Stacy in person.
Absolutely.
So be sure to check that out at ivedecided.org. And I love hearing from you and getting feedback. So you have questions? Is there something you want to know about? Would you like to have a certain type of guest on our I've Decided radio show? Anything, we'd love to hear from you. Give me an email at kim@ivedecided.org. All right, guys, have an awesome Sunday and a great week, and we'll be back with you next week.
Thanks, Kim.
Thanks for listening to I've Decided Radio, sponsored by I've Decided, a local organization designed to help motivate you to reach your goals. Listen every Sunday morning at this time for I've Decided Radio. For more information, go to ivedecided.org. What will you decide?